Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16, and verses 22 and 23. Matthew 16, verses 22 and 23. Then Peter took him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And our subject this morning is putting Satan behind us, putting Satan behind us. Well, now we gather this morning to consider these intriguing words in this gospel according to Matthew. They are very intriguing. They're very mysterious, perhaps even alarming to some people. Because look at what the Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan. And the Lord is speaking these words not to one who would be considered an enemy. He's not speaking to a scribe or a Pharisee who were constantly against him and opposing him. But he is speaking these words to one who is his disciple. He's speaking these words to Simon Peter, a beloved disciple, in fact, one of the inner circle. There were three disciples who were part of that inner circle, as it were. They were privileged to see many things that perhaps the other disciples did not see. They were there in Gethsemane. They were there at the Transfiguration. Peter was one of them. Peter, James, and John. So he is a disciple who is very close to the Lord. And yet he is the one who is being called here, in a sense, Satan. Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. These words are being applied to him. And what is even stranger is that this occurs just after Simon Peter has been blessed. Remember in verse 16 what Simon Peter has said. Well, he's answered that question that the Lord Jesus has asked the disciples. Whom say ye that I am? Who do you think I am? And Simon Peter it is who answers and says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that was true, of course. Simon well spoke. The Lord Jesus Christ is not just a man. He was a man, but he wasn't just a man. He wasn't just a prophet. He was a prophet, but he wasn't just a prophet. He is the Son of God. He is divine. He is equal with the Father. You know the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, and yet three persons within the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, equal with the Father. And Simon Peter, he knows this. And the Lord Jesus Christ blesses him in verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. This is what it is to be truly blessed. To be blessed of God is not to be rich, not to have status, not to have a big house or a big car. To be truly blessed, it's to know who the Lord Jesus Christ truly is. To know that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what it is to be blessed. So Simon Peter was blessed there, but then not very long after that, well, then he receives that strong rebuke from the Lord Jesus Christ. Get thee behind me, Satan. And well, we could spend a long time speaking about these things. We could spend a long time speaking about Satan. Well, I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, know who Satan is. In fact, I dare say that there are more people in this world today who know who Satan is and yet don't know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. In fact, I remember there was one time we were preaching on the streets And somebody came up to us and said, "Hail Satan," and everyone was laughing and applauding. I think Satan is very well known in this world at this particular time. But you know, it's only the Bible. It's the Bible that gives us clear teaching on Satan. Satan is a real person. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about Satan, and he only speaks truth. So we believe that there is a Satan, just as truly as there is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a Satan, there is that person, a fallen angel, of course, an enemy of God, an adversary. That's what the word Satan means. He's an adversary. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of man. And yet he is one who has considerable power in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ called Satan the prince of this world. The prince of this world. Why did he call him that? Because Satan has so much influence in this world. So much influence, and so many people are under his power, under his deception. That is the great power of Satan. He has great power to deceive. He is the father of lies. He's the opposite of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is truth. Satan is falsehood. Satan is the father of lies, whereas Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And yet so many people are under the power of Satan, and they refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these things, they're very serious. And we have to take these things very seriously. We have to ask ourselves this question: whose side are we on? Are we on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, or are we on the other side? Now, this is a challenge for all of us, believers as well as unbelievers. Some of you may be saying, why is this pastor, this man, asking which side am I on? Am I not in a church? Am I not somebody who calls myself a Christian? Well, yes, many of you, if not all of you here, will call yourselves Christians. But Simon Peter, he would have called himself a Christian. He was a believer. He was a follower of Christ. And yet he is deceived by Satan. And he is under the influence of Satan. Simon Peter, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. So we have to ask ourselves, each one of us, that question. Are we on the right side? Is there any part of my life even that is under the deception, under the spell of Satan? We can all fall under his temptation, under his deception. So, dear friends, we will just very briefly, in the very short time that we have before us, we will look at these things, not to scare you, but to warn you of Satan and to turn from Satan to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let us just look at these words. Verse 23, he turned, the Lord Jesus Christ turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. That was the great failure of Simon Peter. He was choosing not the things that are of God, but the things that are of men. That is a characteristic of somebody who is under the influence, under the deception of Satan. They choose the things of men rather than the things of God. And this is so very sad. This is what we see in the world nowadays. And I say this very often. There are so many people you speak to about God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they are not interested. They do not savor the things of God. If I was to speak to them about sport or about movies or about music, about the things of men, well, then they would be very happy. They would love to speak about these things because this is the mind of the natural man. They savor the things of men. God, don't speak to me about God. Don't speak to me about the Bible. Don't speak to me about the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want that. We think about the things of men. Tell me about that. And that is a sign, sadly, of somebody who is under the influence of Satan. They mind the things of men. They don't have a thought about God at all. God is not in their thinking. God is not in their thoughts. And of course, they seek after the things of men, the riches of men. They seek after money. They seek after great careers. They desire to have status and so on. They are more concerned with what men think about them than what God thinks about them. Again, this is the sad state of people. So many are so obsessed. What do people think about me? What do my friends think about me? What do my family members think about me? They're only worried about what men think, not what God thinks. Who cares about what God thinks? That's what they'll say to themselves. We don't care about the things of God. We care about men. What does man think about me, about my life, about my career, about my status, my wealth, and so on? So, dear friends, we already have to ask ourselves this question. Which side are we on? Are we under the influence, under the deception of Satan, or are we looking to the things of God? The world, of course, well, it will look to the things of men for its happiness and for its joy. That is what we considered last week. The world looks to the things of men for its fulfillment. And this is the only thing that people have an appetite for. They won't look to the Bible. They won't look to the Word of God. I often find it very interesting that one of the reasons why people will not look to the Word of God, or one of the excuses that they will have, they will say to you, well, this is not the Word of God, this is the Word of men. The Bible itself is man-made. That is what they will tell you. And so this is why people don't read it. I don't read the Bible because it's the product of men. It's man-made. And so what do they do instead? They look exactly to man-made things for their happiness and joy. This is so ironic. It's so foolish. It's insane. The only thing that comes from God, the Word of God, that brings true happiness, true joy, they reject it because they say it's man-made. And what do instead? They go after man-made things to find their happiness and their joy. It's utter foolishness and insanity. But you see, this is what Satan does to us. He makes a fool out of us. And this is the technique of Satan, the wiles of Satan. But this is what man does. He will look to the world for his happiness, his joy, and he will find nothing at all. Living according to man and not to God means something else also. Man will love unholy things. God is holy. We know that in the Word of God. We see God's holy standard in the Ten Commandments particularly. We see how we ought to live. But men don't want that. We don't want to do that. That's what people say. We reject that. We don't want the law of God. We don't want the holiness of God. Who wants to do that? We want to live according to our rules. I want to do whatever I want to do. In fact, I want to break the rules. That is the nature of man. You know, man is never happier than when he is breaking the rules. And again, I've said this very often. I'm just repeating myself. The people who are most esteemed in this world, the great heroes of this world, of pop culture and so on, they're the ones who have broken the rules. They're the rebels. We love them. We will worship them, the rule breakers. You look even at little children. And children, well, it seems to me in my limited experience, they're never happier than when they are breaking the rules of their parents. They rejoice in that almost. This is when they are at their most fulfilled, breaking the rules, disobeying. That's what they seek after. So somebody who savors the things of men, they don't want holiness. They don't want God's holiness. They want to break the rules, not keep the rules. And so if you're like that, if there's that streak in you, if that describes you, Sadly, you are on the side of Satan. Satan has a power over you. Satan is deceiving you. And this, sadly, is true of all of us, the natural man, most certainly. We are under the power of Satan because we are all sinners. One who savors the things of men rather than the things of God will note this. He will live for time and not eternity. He will live for time and not eternity. God is eternal, of course he is. He's more than that. He's from everlasting to everlasting, no beginning, no end. And man is finite. We are only on this earth for a very short time. The Bible teaches us that there is eternity ahead of us. On this life, on this earth, only 70 odd years. And then after that, we have eternity. And yet people don't care. They live just for this life, just for this world, and they don't care about where they are going to spend eternity. Again, this is foolishness. You would think it was a no-brainer. Surely it is wiser to prepare for eternity. That's forever and ever and ever. Whereas this world is just a short time. Surely it makes sense to prepare for eternity, to spend this life preparing for eternity, for where you are going forever. But people don't care about that. You see, they savor the things of men and not the things of God. Man who is temporary, man who is finite, man who is fading as a flower, they will live for those things. And dear friends, again, this is the deception of Satan. Live just for now. Live just for today. Don't worry about what happens when you die. Don't even think about death. This is the deception of Satan, so that you go into eternity utterly unprepared. And dear friends, this is so very sad. Perhaps there are some people who think they are prepared for eternity. And this, again, is part of the deception of Satan. You speak to some people, you say, where are you going when you die? They think they're going to heaven. And you ask them why? Well, because I'm a good person. That's what they will say. I'm a good person. I've done good things. I've given lots of money to charity. I look after my family and so on. I'm a good person. Dear friends, that's a deception. That is somebody who savors the things of men rather than the things of God. They savor their own works, the works of men. I'm a good person. God will be pleased with me. He will like me. He will accept me. I'll be able to go into heaven. The works of men, not the salvation that God gives us, not in Christ. No, we reject that. I reject that Christ has to die for me. I reject that Christ is my Savior. I reject Christ alone. I don't believe in that at all. It's my works. You see, savoring the things of men, not the things of God, not the salvation of God. That's how Satan deceives us. In almost every aspect of our lives, Satan is there. He's the prince of this world. You go out into the world, this is exactly what you will see, what I've been telling you. And so these things, they are very true. This is how Satan operates. This is Satan's snare. This is Satan's trap. But let me just look at some more of these words. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Well, you could translate those words offense into a stumbling block, or perhaps something that stands in your way. Something that blocks your path. Perhaps if you were running a race, somebody would put great obstacles between you, great hurdles between you and the finishing line. That's part of what it means. This is what Satan does, of course. You are on one side in your sin. Christ stands as your savior. What does Satan do? He puts loads of obstacles in your way. He puts lots of stumbling blocks. I was explaining this to some of our young men at the Friday meeting. When Satan sees that you are taking an interest in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is going to put all sorts of blocks in your way, all sorts of temptations. He's going to say to you, don't go to the Lord. Think of What's going to happen to you if you come to the Lord? He will scare you. Think about your job, perhaps. You might lose your job when your employer knows that you're a Christian. Well, you might lose your job. What's going to happen to you next? Think about your family commitments. You're too busy. You're too busy to be a Christian. Think about your family and your friend. What are your friends going to say to you? They'll laugh at you. You'll lose half your friends if you turn to the Lord. You see, these are the stumbling blocks that Satan puts in your way to keep you from Christ, to keep you from God. This is Satan's great purpose. And again, I say this very often. You think that following Satan will give you a wonderful time, will make you entertained and keep you happy. Satan has got no interest in keeping you happy or in your joy at all. He doesn't care about whether you're happy or sad. All he cares about is keeping you away from God, in being a stumbling block, keeping you as far from God as possible. That's all he cares about. And he's just going to put loads of entertainments in your way, loads of concerns, lots of stumbling blocks. Dear friends, if that's you, if you have wanted to come to Christ, but you feel you can't, what is Satan saying to you at this moment, at this time? I'm sure he's speaking to you even now, but listen to the voice of the Lord. You must turn to the Lord. The Lord is calling out to you. He is your salvation, and you must believe in him. You must have faith in him and in what he has done. What has Christ done for us? Now, again, there's so much I could say from these things, but what is Satan? What is Satan specifically doing here? He's using Peter, and by the way, you could say a lot about this. Satan uses every kind of means to attack us. He uses people. He uses people that we love to attack us. He's using Simon Peter here to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. What exactly is Satan so het up about? What is Peter trying to stop the Lord from doing? Well, specifically, it is to stop the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross. The Lord has been telling his disciples in verse 21 that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. He must go to the cross. And Satan doesn't want that. He doesn't want the Lord Jesus Christ to go to the cross, because you see, that is where our salvation is. It's at the cross. You know, there are so many churches, or perhaps, well, maybe I shouldn't say so many, but a significant number of churches, they are willing to speak about all sorts of things. They will love to talk about the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will love to talk about the healings. They will perhaps love to talk about the gifts of the Spirit and so on. But they are very reluctant to speak about the cross, about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowadays, it seems, don't speak about the cross. That's too harsh. You don't want to depress people, to tell them about Christ dying on the cross and his shed blood. Don't mention that. Nobody wants to hear that. Speak about anything else. Speak about health and wealth, prosperity, all the healings, all the nice things Jesus said. Don't talk about the cross. Don't even mention it. You know, Satan is present there. That is his scheme. He doesn't mind you coming to church. He doesn't mind you singing the hymns as long as you don't believe in the cross. Because that is where our salvation is. That is where Christ died. You know this. To take upon himself the punishment that we deserve. We stand to be punished rightfully in the sight of God for all our sin, all our rejection, for savoring the things of men and rebelling against him. We deserve to be punished. But it's Christ who took upon himself the punishment where? At the cross. He's our substitute instead of us. He has suffered and died. And so that is where our salvation is. That is what we believe in. If we understand nothing else, we must understand this. I am a sinner. I deserve to be punished, but Christ died for me on the cross. If you don't understand anything else, it's okay. But you must understand and believe that. Nowadays, it's the opposite, it seems. Everyone seems to understand everything else in the Bible. You talk to them about the cross, they don't understand it. That is Satan's influence, the prince of the world, even in the churches. But dear friends, let not this church be like this. Let each and every one of us know and understand what Christ did on the cross. He died for us so that we may be forgiven all our sins. And we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way to be saved. It's the only way to have everlasting life. Christ wants you to have everlasting life. Not just a short time on this earth and then you die. Christ wants everlasting life. It's Satan who wants you to die. Satan, he wants every single one of us to die. To die physically, spiritually, eternally. This was his plan right from the beginning. You could go right back to the Garden of Eden. What was Satan's plan in the Garden of Eden? He wanted Adam to die. Take from that tree, because Satan knows if you take from it, you will die. This is Satan's plan. But Christ calls us to life, to live, to look to him and live, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death on the cross. Just as the serpent was lifted up, we noted that last week, look to the Lord Jesus Christ and live. And so, dear friends, we have to be careful. We have to say, get thee behind me, Satan. If any of this has resonated with you, we must put Satan behind us. Dear friends, the Bible says, the New Testament teaches us, you are either a servant of Satan or a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no middle group. There's no group that is free. This is what people like to say to us. Oh, I'm neither Satan nor the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a free person. I'm afraid you're not. There's only two groups. Whose side are you on? If you think you're free, well, then you really are under the deception of Satan. He has you enslaved. And it's only Christ who can set you free, only by looking to him, trusting in him, believing that he has died in your place. Only he can undo the work of the devil in your life. Only he can crush Satan under his feet. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. We must look to him. Put Satan behind you. That is what a Christian has done. When he repents, he puts everything behind him. He no longer lives for men. He doesn't really care what men think of him anymore. He cares what God thinks about him. He no longer lives for the things of this world, for time, just for this short life. He lives for eternity. He's put everything, all of that behind him. And now he looks ahead to that glorious eternity when he will forever be with the Lord. Dear friends, this is what we must look forward to. Put Satan behind you. Ask the Lord. Seek that freedom in Christ. And the Lord will hear you and he will bless you. He will set you free. Simon Peter would be set free, of course. He would be forgiven. He would be blessed and greatly used. May that be the lot and the portion for each and every one of us, that we have Satan behind us. Now we live for the Lord and we will live unto him forevermore. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us.